paid my dues. This is Parade of the Blind, a Marvel Cinematic Universe fic, written by Wix, and read by You Stole My Name. And bad mistakes. There's an obvious divide. It's so painfully clear even to the most casual of observers. They had thought that the arrival and subsequent defeat of Thanos would be just the kind of glue needed to repair them. But while the general populace had moved on from Team Captain America's shortcomings, the same could not be said for the Avengers behind closed doors. And the sad thing is that the obvious wrench in the plan to pull the two sides together is none other than Tony Stark, the only connection that both sides have to each other. Steve wants to say that it's not Tony's fault that there's this growing divide, but he knows that on some level it is. The brunette's attempt to put distance between himself and his old team aren't as subtle as he must think they are. Things like the refusal to move into the compound, or the constant schedule conflicts that just magically appear any time they put forth a team lunch or team building exercise. Not to mention his habit of remaining on the opposite side of any room that they're put in together. On some level, it irritates Steve immensely. And he doesn't mean for it to. But there isn't really a time when he sees Tony and doesn't have the strong urge to walk over to him and shake him, to express his frustration with the billionaire, who seems determined to hold on to something that the rest of the world has already decided to let go of. But he knows that it won't help anything, no matter how much better he'd feel if he did it. Rhodes allows Tony's petulance. Of course he does, since he always was far too lenient with Tony. And sometimes Steve would find himself wondering how Rhodes ever kept his job as military liaison to Stark Industries with his obvious Tony-shaped blind spot. Even now, in the middle of a team meeting, Steve can't address Tony, despite him sitting only 10 feet away from him. No. Rhodes has already made it clear that all inquiries and requests will be made directly to him, the other team leader, and never to one of his team. And he has been solid about sticking to that ridiculous rule. Steve knows that it's so Tony can choose to ignore them and not say anything to them and continue fostering this gaping hole. Any other items on the agenda? Or can we call this meeting to a close? Rhodes' voice cuts through his inner musings, and Clint speaks up. "Yeah, I have an item for the agenda," he says, his voice dripping sarcasm. "I want to know what channels I apparently have to take these days to get new equipment. Mine is still damaged from the last fight with the Wrecking Crew." Clint looks right at Tony, but the brunette isn't looking up at him. Instead, seemingly engrossed in the files in front of him. "I turned my bow in almost 5 days ago, and I haven't heard anything back." "I see. I'll get you the number that you'll need to call," Rhodey says, and Clint snorts. Oh, I see. I have to call a number now. Stark can't just fucking look at me and answer the damn question. Steve turns and shakes his head at Clint, silently telling him to back off. And the archer leans back in his chair with a sullen cross of his arms.
The number you'll be calling has nothing to do with Mr. Stark.
It still sounds weird. Rhodes using formal names or straight-up code names instead of the casual first names of meetings past. Rhodes says that it's to maintain an atmosphere of professionality. But Steve knows that professionalism has nothing to do with it.
The number that you'll need to call is the Accords liaisons. They'll handle getting you over to whatever R&D or purchasing company that they're currently running through.
But it's SI, isn't it? So why can't Stark just answer now? Or is he suddenly mute? Wouldn't that be a godsend? Clint, Steve reprimands, and Rhodes shakes his head.
This is a professional meeting, Mr. Barton, and you will conduct yourself as such or there will be repercussions.
There's a solid warning in Rhodes' voice, and Clint clearly wants to engage the other man, but one glance at Steve, and he wisely chooses not to.
As for your statement regarding Stark Industries, I can answer that. Stark Industries does not contract with the Accords. Your previous bow, which was temporarily issued to you for the fight with Thanos, was Stark Tech and was returned and destroyed. Your new equipment will be issued by whatever contract the Accords has if it was not purchased by yourself.
There's a moment of heavy silence at the table as Rhodes' words wash over them.
What?
Sam asks.
But what about you all?
What about us?
You're all sporting Stark Tech.
Yes, we are.
Sam gets a confused look at Rhodes' calm agreement.
So what? You all get Tony's toys, but he's going to withhold them from us?
Clint snaps, and Rhodes shakes his head.
You are more than welcome to get your equipment from any legal contact you have. Or you have the right to purchase it from any vendor that you can personally afford or can make an adequate deal with the manufacturer for.
Oh, and what's it going to take Stark to get a fucking bow?
That is not a conversation for this meeting. That is a private consultation between you and Stark Industries. I do warn you as a courtesy. Your chances do not look good, but you're more than welcome to try anyways.
Why? Because Stark's just going to say no anyway?
No. Because you're asking for active weaponry, and Stark Industries no longer makes military weapons. However, you're still welcome to try.
Rhodes wheels back from the table, and the other side stands almost as one unit.
This meeting is adjourned.
Stark, I want to talk to you.
Clint says as he goes to step forward, and Tony shakes his head.
Sorry, Barton, I'm in a hurry. Make an appointment with my secretary.
He says without turning around, and Clint practically snarls as Steve determines that it's time to make the stand that he should have made the minute they returned. He should never have allowed it to get this out of hand.
Tony, I'm sure you can spare 10 minutes,
he says, and Tony doesn't stop.
Tony!
He takes several strides forward, preparing to stop the retreating brunette when he gets blocked off by Carol.
Can I help you, Rogers?
She asks. Her tone has a warning in it, and Steve stops.
We just want to talk to Tony.
That's nice.
Unfortunately, he's busy. And he doesn't want to talk to you.
We need to talk this out.
No, you need to stand down,
she says,
her stance shifting into something that looks closer to a fighting ready stance.
"Are you going to attack me?"
Steve asks her, and she shakes her head.
"Nope, but I'm not going to stand by and let you harass a member of my team."
"We're all on the same side here," Steve says to her, and she just gets an amused look, like he said something funny. And it makes Steve feel a tendril of frustration run through him as Tony gets into the elevator with Strange and Bruce, disappearing from view.
"This whole thing could be settled if we could just have a few minutes of his time."
"Perhaps it could, perhaps it couldn't. Either way, you lay a hand on him when he's clearly walking away from you, and I'll break it."
"Is that a threat, Miss Danvers?"
"It's a promise."
"I've paid my dues time after time."
The vision at least pretends to be cordial, accepting any attempts for conversation, unlike the rest of his half of the team. He's in the compound kitchen the next day, making some kind of waffle sandwich concoction, when they all enter and start raiding the cupboards.
"What are you making?"
Wanda asks, coming over to look at what Vision is pulling off the waffle maker. It hurts Steve's heart every time he sees Wanda attempt to recreate that close kinship that she had with the android prior to Tony's accords. It always makes him want to pull the Vision aside each time he sees him treat her like a barely known stranger.
"I am currently experimenting. Nothing concrete. Just seeing what is available to me and using it in new ways."
His sentence sounds like the end of the discussion, and it's a little impressive how he can always sound like he's dismissing the young Sokovian girl.
"Oh, that sounds fun."
He doesn't respond to her attempt at keeping the conversation alive, instead putting the sandwich on a plate with a small smile.
"It looks good."
He nods, as if in thanks for the compliment, but says nothing.
"Hey Vision, I heard you were thinking about moving out of the compound."
Steve tries to salvage the conversation. Remember the interior decorating magazines that the Vision had been glancing through?
"I am."
Wanda's face falls at the agreement.
"May I ask where you're going to live? Are you sure it's safe?"
Vision grabs some chips and puts some on the plate. Stark Tower is quite formidable when it comes to security. "So thank you for your concern, but it is unwarranted."
"Stark Towers?"
Clint asks, and Vision nods.
"Yes, it makes more sense to be more centrally located to my life in the city."
He glances at all of them.
"What about you? Where have you chosen to go?"
"What?" Steve asks, and Vision tilts his head. "In 3 days, the 2-month grace period will have ended. Surely you've come up with a plan as to what you will do next."
"What grace period?"
Sam inquires, and Vision looks at all of them.
"The temporary grace period. The resting period until you all readjusted to life stateside and struck out on your own."
"What does that even mean?" Sam says, and the Vision puts the plate down on the counter for a second.
"I am well aware that you were informed of this. Twice, in fact, that I was present for."
"Vision, start at the beginning. What are you talking about?" Steve tries again, and Vision glances at him.
"You were all made aware that your return to the compound was under what has been referred to as a grace period,"
he says. That grace period ends in 3 days. At that point, you will have needed to find your own accommodations outside of the compound. Unless you have decided that you'll pay the agreed-upon rent price for room and board here.
What? No, we live here. This is our home.
No, this is a building owned by the Accords Council and regulated by them. If you wish to remain on the premises, I would advise that you immediately call your liaison and discuss possible scenarios with them.
So Stark's taking away our home?
Wanda says, disbelief in her tone, and Vision shakes his head. Mr. Stark sold the compound. It is now maintained by the Accords staff. He has no say in who resides here and who does not.
But Tony always let us stay here,
Steve says, and Vision gives him a look like he's not understanding what he's saying. But Mr. Stark no longer owns the building, so it is not his call.
So are we all moving into Stark Towers then?
Steve asks, looking around. And Vision pauses a second to think about it. If you mean that you're all getting ready to head over there to sign a lease, then my answer would be yes. However, if you're inferring that you expect Mr. Stark to just give you apartments in his building, then I would advise you to start looking into other options.
But he's just giving you one,
Clint snaps, and Vision takes a second. I have brokered a deal with Mr. Stark, but even if I hadn't, what Mr. Stark gives to one, he is not required to give to anyone else. He does not owe you a house, or food, or anything else. If he feels like giving it, then that is one thing. But to demand or expect it to be given speaks of an insulting amount of entitlement to Mr. Stark's fund and property. Vision glances at them. I would recommend that you contact your liaison as soon as possible. With that, the Vision grabs the plate and turns around, leaving them all sitting in the kitchen, looking at each other with various looks of uncertainty.
Done my sentence, but committed no crime.
It's a total of 48 hours later before Steve and the others are more than done with Tony's petty behaviour, and they go seeking the brunette out. It's not hard to find him, out at a charity event, and Steve watches how his face goes from something relaxed and playful before twisting into something frozen and fake. Mr. Rogers, what a surprise. Mr. Stark didn't say some of the Avengers were going to be making the rounds. A heavyweight man says, with obvious glee at seeing Steve and his team, and Steve gives his best Captain America performing monkey smile.
Well, I didn't want to get anyone's hopes up if they couldn't make it.
Tony says, a tightness in his voice that the benefactor misses entirely. Clint comes around Tony's side and throws an arm over the brunette's shoulders, squeezing him slightly. Tony's smile doesn't shift in the slightest at the contact, but his body is clearly tightly wound.
Do you mind if we steal him for a moment?
Steve asks the man, and he shakes his head.
Oh no, of course not.
The man waves as he walks off, and Clint tightens his grip, pulling Tony's head closer to him and whispering in his ear.
We need to talk, Stark.
Clint says as he all but uses his arm around Tony's shoulder to drag the other man toward the hallways, where they'll have privacy. Clint doesn't release his hold the minute they exit the area, but steps into the darkness of the empty hallway.
Get your hands off me, Barton.
Tony growls, the second they're out of ear and eyeshot from everyone in the party. and Clint gives him a nasty grin.
What you gonna do about it, rich boy?
Tony just gives him a look before reaching up and pulling a move that has Clint on his knees, with his hand being held in a strange way by Tony.
Tony!
Steve snaps, going to step forward when Red winds its way around Tony's wrist and yanks the brunette back, slamming him into the wall. Tony lets out a soft sound of pain, but glances up at them with the same kind of defiance that Steve is used to seeing him give Hydra or Loki, not his team.
Wanda, that's enough,
Steve says, holding out a hand to stop the girl before looking at Tony.
We just want to talk.
Yeah, that's what this looks like. Talking.
Tony snaps back as he pushes himself off the wall.
Newsflash, I don't feel like talking to you.
Well, too bad, Clint says, standing and rolling his shoulder.
We're here to tell you to back the fuck down.
Back down from what, Barton? You'll need to be a little more specific.
Clint steps forward, his fist clenching, and Tony looks ready for a brawl.
Oh, I'll be specific.
Clint starts before Steve holds out an arm and stops the archer from approaching the other.
Don't. That's not why we're here.
He looks at Tony. We're here to talk and get all this pettiness put behind us.
What pettiness, Rogers?
Kicking us out of our home, for starters. There's a momentary look of confusion on the brunette's face.
What the hell are you talking about? I don't have anything to do with your housing arrangements.
You're taking care of everyone else, but you're throwing us out on the street, Wanda says, her magic still visible around her fists.
What are you even going off about?
Stark Towers.
Steve tries to guide him to the answer, but Tony clearly still isn't getting it.
You're giving the others rooms to live in your tower, but apparently that generosity ends with them.
Tony's laugh is disbelieving and cruel.
Oh, you're a piece of work. What the hell did you think was going to happen? You were going to just stroll in here and expect to be wined and dined on my dime for the rest of your lives?
Newsflash. The free ride you all got so used to is over.
It's been over. I've washed my hands of you, so don't come looking to me for a handout.
Tony shakes his head.
And for your information, Vision got a job and is paying rent. I don't know who else you think I'm taking care of.
Rhodey and Carol have their own jobs and apartments, along with everyone else on the Avengers, except you bunch of freeloaders.
I'm not taking care of them. They're fucking taking care of themselves. You should try it.
Tony does cry out the second time that Wanda's magic slams him back into the brick wall, wrapping around his throat and holding him still. Tony struggles for a second, but the red tendrils that have wrapped around his wrists keeps him from tugging at the one on his throat.
Wanda, let him go.
He doesn't speak to us that way,
she snaps, and Steve puts a comforting hand on her arm. She takes a second, calming and balancing herself before she waves her hand, and Tony drops, coughing and gasping for air.
You can all go to hell,
Tony gasps out the second he can, his hand rubbing at his throat.
Tony,
Steve reprimands, and Tony shakes his head.
No, fuck you,
Tony snarls, and Steve blocks Wanda from lashing out again. We just want to talk.
This doesn't look like talking, Rogers. This looks like aggravated assault.
Don't be so overdramatic, Stark, Clint says with a roll of his eyes.
And what, you can dish it out but you can't take it?
He asks, motioning to his wrist and clearly referencing the brunette's assault on him. Tony's eyes go wide for a second.
Wow, you're all so fucking delusional, he says before shaking his hand.
I'm leaving. I'm not sticking around with you psychopaths any longer.
We're not finished here, Steve says.
And Tony turns and gives him a glare that reminds him of Siberia.
Oh, Rogers, you don't have a fucking clue. You're beyond finished.
And bad mistakes. I've made a few.
Did you hear? Sam says as he enters the room and Steve looks up.
Hear what?
They arrested Wanda. Steve quickly stands up.
What? Why? What for?
Assaulting a fellow Avenger, Sam responds. And Steve can feel the rage rush through him.
Tony.
He growls as he grabs his jacket, and the two of them leave the area. He finds Rhodes, Stephen, and Bruce in an open area.
Where's Tony?
He demands as he approaches, and the three men just look at him like he's the lowest scum.
He's not available,
Rhodes says before holding out a piece of paper.
What's this? You're finished. You, Wilson, and Barton. You're done. Good luck out there.
What the hell? Sam asks as Stephen hands him his letter. And Steve looks it over. Forced retirement due to inappropriate conduct. Rhodes holds out another piece of paper.
Oh, and this one too.
Steve takes it, and Rhodes looks like he wants nothing more than to put Steve 6 feet under. The concerning green in Bruce's eyes tells a similar story.
If you come near him again, we're going to be all up on your ass,
Rhodes says warningly, and Steve looks at the new page. A restraining order, demanding that Steve stay away from Tony at all times, to not attempt to contact him, and to be barred from all Stark Industry properties for the foreseeable future.
This is taking it a bit far, don't you think?
Sam asks as he's clearly handed something similar, and Rhodes shakes his head.
You stood by as Maximov used her powers on him, in his civilian form no less, and you all just fucking stood by.
What are you talking about?
Newsflash, Rogers. Just because people aren't in the hall doesn't mean there isn't still security cameras. We saw it all.
Rhodes steps into his space.
You're finished, and let me tell you, we'll be waiting for you to step out of line, Rogers. When, not if. And if you ever go near him again, the courts are going to be the least of your problems.
Rhodes steps back with a disgusted snarl.
Now get the fuck out.
Where are we supposed to go?
You should have thought of that before,
Bruce says with a shake of his head. Now it's not our problem.
Your stuff will be sent to you or stored in storage containers at your own personal cost,
Rhodes says.
Now get the fuck out.
Rhodes waves for the security to come over, and Steve stares at him as a firm grip is put on his shoulder. And he's escorted from the building, Sam along with him. When they're outside of the property line, The security lets go and leaves them there. Steve turns around and stares at the compound.
So, what are we supposed to do now?
I don't know, but we'll fix this.
How?
I don't know yet, but we will. Sam doesn't look like he fully believes him, but he turns away anyways as Steve takes in the compound for the last time for a little while. They'll get back in. He'll get them back in. Tony might think he's won. But the war is only just beginning.
I've taken my bows and my curtain calls. You brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses.